When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, Bill Spadia here. Welcome back to our podcast, Speaking Recovery, that we do every month with our friends at RCA, Recovery Centers of America. Today we're joined by Marguerite Warner. She is the Regional Alumni Coordinator, and we're going to talk a little bit about what to do with those folks that are struggling now coming off of the last 30 days. A lot of people try to stay sober in January as a New Year's resolution and then get to the more serious, the folks that are in really great distress and have gone through the program, what it means to be an alumni, and how important the sober community is to people that are fighting addiction. Marguerite, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
So let's start right off the bat. How does RCA define alumni?
Okay, so basically, you don't necessarily have to be an inpatient with RCA. If you spend one day with treatment with RCA, you are considered an alumni. I visit our IOP, which is our outpatient department, once a week. I visit them on Monday mornings for that reason. Some people believe that if you weren't an inpatient and if you didn't do a 30-day stay with RCA, that you're not an alumni, but absolutely every patient is an alumni of RCA. And that's the beauty in it.
Now, let me understand that. So someone that's gone one day, I mean, is that someone that has gone through one day, they got the ship got righted that quickly? Or is that, I mean, how do you deal with folks that quit and walk out?
See, that's just it. There's no guarantee that a person is going to stay for treatment. You know, this is very difficult, very challenging. But it's important to know that RCA is here for absolutely every patient, not just the patients that are capable of completing, you know, the 30-day stay. You are a part of the alumni family immediately from the time you walk into the building and register for your stay.
I understand. So I think so people understand what this means is that once you connect, you guys follow up and try to help. It's an ongoing battle. So just because someone walks out of treatment, that doesn't mean that their journey is over. Doesn't mean that RCA forgets about them. That's what you mean by it.
No, yeah, we don't give up on anybody. That's the amazing thing. You know, we support you through your journey in recovery. I've never experienced this before. Generally, when you leave treatment, and that kind of that's severed. But with RCA's alumni program, your connection with us remains as long as you're willing for us to be in contact with you and in connection with you. You know, it offers our patients not just support when they need support, but it also offers them the opportunity to participate in a clean and sober community with meetings, events. You know, there's a constant flow of communication with our patients.
And how is it that you bring people together? Let's talk about the person. I mean, huge difference. Somebody that goes in and leaves in 24 hours and they say, I've had enough. I can't do this. You follow up 30 days later, 60 days ongoing. Then the person that went through it, walked out in 30 days and is, you know, 2, 3, 4 years later, still sober.
Mm-hmm. So it's a different type of engagement. For those that do the 30-day stay here at RCA, they will meet with me while they are here in our facility. I'll do groups with them. I'll go in and explain to them what the Alumni Association is, what we have to offer, and make it clear to them that I'm here for them when they want to celebrate a milestone, but I'm also here for them when they're struggling. We have multiple meetings. Once our patients actually leave, we have multiple meetings. We have a morning inspiration meeting at 8 in the morning. It's all virtual. We have an 11 a.m. meeting. It's a big book reading. It's all hosted. Each and every one of those meetings are hosted by an alumni coordinator from one of our sites. So we get alumni from all over that attend. We also have multiple meetings in the evening that our patients and alumni can attend. So the engagement starts right away. What we also do is, it doesn't matter the amount of time that you've stayed with us, we reach out to you via a platform called SMS messaging. You get a message 2 days after you leave our facility, 10 days, 30 days, 60, 90, 6 months, and 1 year. And it's basically saying, hi, this is Marguerite, your alumni coordinator, just reaching out to see how you're doing.
So what would you say the percentage is of people that join, that are part of the alumni group and you follow up with in 6 months and they're doing great versus the folks that are like, thank God you were there, Marguerite, because I was really in trouble?
Well, generally what happens is that engagement that we have, you know, doing that regularly, if a patient is struggling, that is usually the response. You know, I'm not doing so good right now, I'm struggling. And what I usually do my response to that is, how can I help you? Would you like to talk? Here is my number. Is it okay if I call you? And I'll usually reach out and give them a call and talk with them for a little bit, because I'm struggling doesn't necessarily mean that I've relapsed. I'm struggling could mean that I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. You know, I'm starting to obsess over drinking.
What constitutes a relapse? Let's talk about someone who is battling alcoholism and they've turned their life completely upside down. They've lost spouse, job, distance from kids, et cetera. And what is a relapse? Is a relapse, I went to a football game and I had a beer. Is a relapse, I ended up passed out in my driveway? I mean, what constitutes that? And is there a range that category captures?
See, that's an area where I say to thine own self be true, you know, depending on how you feel. There are some people that are capable of having a, want to call it slip or a minor relapse where they pick up, but they're able to put it back down and jump back into meetings, jump back into the alumni association, staying connected, and are able to continue on the journey. There are others who have a more severe experience where they've done this and now they're not capable of stopping. And it's physically dangerous for them to try and stop on their own. Then we would talk about getting you back into treatment so that you could safely detox.
And what would that look like? Is that the 5-day detox, a 10-day detox? Is that going back through the entire program? Is that like, I've got to repeat my grade?
It would depend on your needs. Each individual has different needs. If you have the need for more than just detox, if you have the desire to stay for a longer term and perhaps take a look at things that maybe were missed, you know what I mean? Or something that you weren't capable of achieving or obtaining. There's multiple different programs in RCA. We have a prize program that is specifically for people who have had long-term recovery or some form of recovery in their life, but there's a missing link somewhere and they don't seem to be able to, you know, make that connection to maintain long-term sobriety again. You know, we work with their specific needs.
What's the cost to the person who relapses and calls and relies on the alumni network and forgetting having to go back into treatment necessarily, but is there a cost involved?
Absolutely nothing. No, the Alumni Association is here to provide support, and not just support. We do monthly events with our patients, and we go out and we do a lot of fun things, and it's of no cost to our alumni.
Not everything is virtual. There's a lot of in-person interaction.
Absolutely. That's actually, you know, I love the virtual. I spend a lot of time engaging with my alumni virtually, but once a month, I'm out. This past Sunday, we went to an event at an awesome restaurant called Simply Southern in Belmar, New Jersey. 40 of my alumni joined me for a fabulous meal.
Wow.
Yeah. And we actually had a volunteer with 30 years clean and sober speak for us. So, yeah.
An interesting point. Let's go to that. So wait, what was the place called? Simply Southern?
Simply Southern. Yeah.
What did you eat?
I had fried chicken.
Yeah, I love it. I love Southern cooking. I love it. But I'm going to guess they serve booze at this restaurant.
No, they don't.
It's a bring your own, or it's just like a lunch place?
No, it's a lunch or dinner. The beverage was peach mango tea.
Okay. Is it a bring your own or no? There's no alcohol.
we reserved the whole restaurant, so nobody.
I see. Okay.
In that door.
No, well, I ask that because I, you know, just having been working in and around this issue for many, many years, I find that part of the recovery process is being able to walk through a restaurant where people are, you know, ordering drinks and having cocktails, and you have it that sniff of the old life. How do you tell people to deal with that? Does it depend on the strength of the person? Do they have to literally not see it and stay away from it, or can some people go back to the old life and just be above that?
That's an awesome question, and I actually have experience with that. There's no guarantee when we go places and we do things that we're not going to be in the environment where there is a substance. One of the first events I did was a bowling event with my alumni. I had 28 people participating. Now, bowling alleys generally do have bars. And one of my alumni, it was a younger gentleman, came in and he came straight to me and he said, "Marguerite, I don't know how to do this. This is the first time I've participated in something like this, clean and sober." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you how you do it. We do it together, you know, together as a group. We support each other." I said, "So do you want to have fun?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Would you like to remember this experience?" Yeah. I said, "Well, let's go have fun." And that's what we did as a group.
You know?
And within moments, they forget that they're in a place that has a bar off to the left or off to the right, you know, and they enjoy themselves and they engage in life. You know, think about it. In addiction, we're isolated from absolutely everything and everyone, and we don't necessarily have that ability in the beginning to know how to have these experiences.
What would you say is what's the first thing you would tell someone who is, who tells you, "Look, I drink a lot, but I'm not an alcoholic. I, you know, sure, I have a little vodka with my orange juice in the morning. I have two drinks at night. I'm having drinks during lunch. I keep a little bottle in my desk. But hey, I just got a promotion last week."
Yeah. Well, what I would say to them, if that were presented to me, that's a decision that you have to come to on your own terms. I can't, you know, say that you're an alcoholic or not an alcoholic, but what I can say, if it ever comes to a point where you find it troublesome or it is, you know, creating some question in that area, I would absolutely help you and support you, you know, in any decision that you would like to make. But I can't qualify you or not qualify you as an alcoholic or an addict.
Marguerite, how did you come to find this? I mean, you certainly have a huge grasp on this. Was this a personal issue for you? Was it family oriented? How did you land at RCA to then dedicate this kind of commitment and time to help other people?
Okay, so well, 17 years ago, I started my own personal journey in recovery. I grew up in an environment, you know, surrounded by alcoholism and addiction. And when I came to that, you know, that road myself, and I got sober, I certainly didn't have any intention to begin working in the field of recovery. It actually happened by chance. You know, I had a friend who was a coordinator, director of clinical coordinator at a facility, who asked me if I'd be willing to come part-time and, you know, just work with his clients as a woman, you know, clean and sober. Just to kind of be like a support role. And in doing so, I fell in love with it, you know, and I just became very passionate about giving something that was so freely given to me, and that it just came so naturally. You know, when you work in this field, Sunday night, you're not dreading Monday, you're looking forward to it. And Friday, you're not thinking, "Oh, today is my payday." What you're thinking is, "Okay, what can I do?" For me personally, you know, what can I do over the weekend that would help me to engage a little better with my alumni? What interesting events can I look up and inquire about? You know, on Sundays, actually every other Sunday, I just partnered with, there's a place called John Bon Jovi Old Kitchen in Red Bank, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. We had an event there for Christmas. We had a holiday brunch. And what that did is it opened the door for the people that are involved in the Alumni Association to now take on a service commitment. Because a big part of our recovery, it's not just showing up and having fun. A big part of recovery is about service, giving back to the community, giving back to the world that we took a great deal from. It's important to me, and I see how important it is to my alumni. So we manage to schedule every other Sunday morning. We're going to go over and we're going to be of service to the Salt Kitchen. You know, there's such a broad scope of recovery. It's not about just not picking up a drink or not picking up a drug. You know, it's about filling that need inside. And
what do you see more of today with your alumni? Drugs, alcohol? What would you say is more predominant?
Honestly,
a specific drug that is the drug of choice, you know, post lockdown culture that we just heard.
Honestly, I guess, you know, if it's the right term, I don't see very many blue bloods, to be honest with you. Addiction, it doesn't, you know, yes, you know, you do have your hardcore alcoholics and some people to, you know, claim to be addict only, but I don't meet too many people that basically utilize whatever substance will do the job.
Yeah. So, you know, has there been an increase though in what you've seen? I mean, we hear a lot about the numbers of people seeking help have dramatically gone up, and a lot speculate part of the problem was we had a lockdown that closed recovery meetings, yet kept liquor stores open. And obviously from a standpoint of the detox and what alcohol can do to your body, if you stop drinking overnight, people can die. So I understood at least the logic there. On the one side, I did not understand at any level the logic on closing in-person meetings, et cetera, where people were suffering. And the question is, how much of this are you playing catch up with some people who really had a tough time in the last 22 months?
Honestly, there was a large amount. I don't have a percentage number, but there was a large amount of struggling, suffering, and relapse during the outbreak when support meetings closed and we went entirely virtual. Firsthand, I have people in my recovery network, 13 years clean and sober, and when they were forced into the isolation, relapsed and went back into treatment. I helped one of
even after 13 years.
I helped one of my friends get into one of our facilities in Mays Landing. Yeah, see, here's the thing. And, you know, it's so important that we don't lose sight of this. You know, alcohol and drugs are a social lubricant for most, you know what I mean? That's generally why we seek it. We need that, you know, that ability to be able to be something that we're not comfortable with being without it. But that very same thing becomes very dangerous when in the end it ends up isolating us from the world. It's, you know, it's an opposite. When we pull back and we isolate and we don't have that connection, the disease is in isolation. You know, so I can no longer go to the meeting that I'm going to every day. Most meetings, I like to call it the 2020 club. You get there 20 minutes before, you socialize, you engage, you fellowship. You go into the meeting. After the meeting is over, you've got a great message. Generally, there's a good 20 minutes after the meeting when you're helping to fold chairs or clean up coffee, where you're engaging, you're fellowshipping, there's connection, you know. Now immediately take that all away from the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Completely disconnected. You know, I've become very comfortable with a virtual platform. I can feel the presence even though I'm on a virtual platform. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'd have been able to do that early in my recovery. So I commend those who can.
Was year one harder than year six, and was year 16 harder than year two? How did that work out for you?
You're asking me all the questions that I love. Year one was an emotional roller coaster. I had highs, lows, tears, joys, you know, every emotion that you suppressed for however long just reared itself, you know, and there, yeah. You know, so, my first year was just, it was a lot of fun, but it was also, like I said, an emotional roller coaster. In the middle of a conversation, I could start, you know, blubbering, you know, nothing was controlled. Mm-hmm. But we think that, okay, yeah, that was the beginning. So now here I am 5 years, I'm meant to have it all together, right? And I'm meant to be doing really well. What you can't lose sight of is the very thing that you do on a daily basis in your first year, all those disciplines that you're learning, the new way of life, are not something that I get to stop doing at 5 years or I get to stop doing at 10 years. or 17 years, if anything, I need to greatly enhance them. It's a journey. It doesn't end, you know? So do I think about a drink or a drug today? No. Do I get resentful, fearful? Yes. That's what I need to take a look at, right? Because I want to remain balanced. I want to remain comfortable in my skin. I forget and lose sight of that. Eventually, my mind is going to tell me I've got a solution to the way you're feeling. And I certainly don't want that solution. So that discipline has to stay in place. But here's the thing, life gets good, you know, and you have to be really careful. You know, the life that your recovery gives you can't be the life that takes your recovery away.
Wow, that's well said. You know, that is well said. I appreciate you sharing on the personal side. I think none of this can be separated from the personal. What I've found is that some of the most successful coaches out there and leaders have suffered themselves, and that A, gives them credibility, B, you know, tells them what to look for. It's like, you know, every nuance and every trick that's out there, so you can get by it. So what do you want people to do? I know they need to call the phone number 888-RECOVERY. Who should call? Can a spouse call for a husband or wife? Can a child call for a mom or dad? Can a mom or dad call for a teenager, 20-something son or daughter?
I would suggest absolutely anybody, everyone that is interested or concerned, call. You can also visit our website, recoverycentersofamerica.com, to learn more. There's a wealth of information there.
And do you do intervention? So if someone, I'm just putting myself in the shoes of a middle-aged mom and dad, they've got a 20-something kid who's struggling and is really a danger to themselves and potentially others, whether it's drugs or alcohol. What would happen from that phone call? Let's say they're living in another part of the state. They're not at home. What would take place generally?
Yeah, I myself don't do interventions, but the same number, the 888 recovery, you can call and speak with someone about having an intervention and set up for someone to come out to your home.
And then at what point would they become alumni that you would deal with them? The day they come in for the treatment for one?
Yes. Right. I like to say the day they get their plaid pajamas.
Okay. Fair enough. Marguerite, thank you. I really appreciate your time today. I appreciate what you do. Thank you for the personal sacrifice and the energy and commitment that you bring to the table to help people get to that next step.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Marguerite.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.